Welcome to the Light Church Podcast. This is David Oakes. I'm pastor of the Light Church Fellowship in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and I am founder of Israel Study Tours with David Oakes and David Oakes Ministries. Thanks for joining me for this latest edition of the Light Church Podcast. Now, a couple of podcasts ago, we began to study on the subject of making a decision to go to Israel. As those of you who listen to me regularly, you know that Israel is a big part of our ministry, and we have been encouraging people to go to the nation of Israel with Bible in hand, not only to walk where Jesus walked, but also to walk glory to God in modern-day fulfillment of biblical prophecy. God said that the Jewish people would come home to their promised land, the land of Israel, and it's wonderful to go there to Israel with people who know what the Bible says about God's promises to Israel, His everlasting covenant that He made with them. You need to go to Israel with somebody who knows about the everlasting covenant. You need to go to Israel with somebody who knows that the land of Israel, from the north, the south, the east, and the west, belongs to the Jewish people and no other peoples. Other peoples can live there in harmony and peace, but God hath given it to the Jewish people. And so we are teaching, as I said, on the subject of making a decision to go to Israel. First off, we found out there are some things that you don't need a direction from God. You don't need God to speak to you, or you don't need a lightning to flash for you to know the plan of God. We looked at scriptures that just said this, that Paul thought it necessary to do some things, so he did it. He thought it good in another location. We found out that in one location, he thought it not good. One location, the elders of the church sent forth Paul and Barnabas to be teachers of the word, and they did it because it seemed good unto them. So there are things, glory to God, that we can do in life if we are operating in the parameters, within the parameters that the Word of God has set up for us. Now, if you're living out there away from God and living in sin, then you can't just do everything that seems good to you. But if you're operating and functioning within the parameters of God, there are things that we can do, glory to God, that just seem good. Now, if the Lord doesn't want us to do those things, He's well able, glory to God, to give us that little check in the spirit, that little red light, that little stoplight, that we ought not be doing that. But many things we can do, glory to God, just because they seem good to a believer who is led by the Spirit. Now, we began to look at the three sharks that are swimming in the water in the life of the believer that is keeping them from making a decision to go to Israel. The first thing was money. Some people just don't think God is able to supply the money to go. Well, let me tell you what, God is able. And we looked at God is a big God, and God is great at multitasking. God can take care of all of your needs and desires in life, and He can also simultaneously, glory be unto God, provide for you finances to make a trip to Israel. Now, let me put this little commercial in here. I believe that David Oakes Ministries tours are one of the best tours to go with us. Because of this reason, we go throughout the land, including the heart of the Bible land, Judea and Samaria. Many groups won't go into those areas for one reason or another, but glory to God, I just recently returned off of a trip to Israel, and we spent much time going into the places of the Bible in the mountains of Ephraim. Oh, what a glorious thing it is to actually be what God, when the places that God has prophesied would be returned back into the hands of the Jewish people. Amen. And woe be unto the man that tries to give those things away, because God has given them eternally to the Jewish people. So we looked at money. And today we're going to look at the next shark that I have encountered in people's lives. And it is the shark of fear that's swimming in the waters of their life, and they're afraid to go to Israel because of fear. Well, these things will work in any area of life, any areas that we need to make decisions. Some people won't make some decisions because they're just afraid to make them. They're afraid of what might happen. They're afraid of failure. They're afraid that they might be rejected. They're just filled with fear. You know, I've encountered many, many people who are just taken over by fear. Some people who won't even touch a door. doorknob because they're afraid that something they get off of that doorknob will kill them. Well, let me tell you what. There is no acrophobia. There is no agoraphobia. There is no arachnophobia. There is no claustrophobia. There is no ablutophobia. There are no fears, glory to God, that should stop the believer. The believer should overcome every kind of phobia. The believer should overcome every kind of fear. Fear has been sent. This is the bottom line. Fear has been sent to restrict the movement of God's people. And that's not God's word, will, and it's not in His word. People had fear sent to them to confine them and to torment them. 1 John the 4th chapter, verse 18 says that fear hath torment. The New King James translation says fear involves torment. Fear torments people. It keeps them on the outside looking in. People are held back from doing things in the body of Christ because of fear. But you know, in 2 Timothy, the 1st chapter, verse 7, my friends, it says this. God doesn't mess around with the words. He just comes right out and says this by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us the spirit of fear. Did you hear that? God has not given us the spirit of fear. Then who gave us the spirit of fear? Well, if the spirit of fear comes, my friend, and it didn't come from God, there only leaves one other source of fear, and that is Satan himself, the enemy, the one who is the tormentor, the one who brings forth things to torment people and to torment the body of Christ. Let me read that scripture to you. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So it tells us what God has given us. God has given us a spirit of power. God's given us a spirit of love. And God has given us a spirit of a sound mind. God's plan, glory to God, is that people walk in His power, His love, and His soundness of mind. And fear is the very opposing force of God's power. Fear is the very opposing force of God's love. Fear is the very opposing force of having a sound mind. Confusion comes, my friends, not by God, but confusion comes by the agency of the enemy. Fear will bring confusion of mind, but God has given us, hallelujah, glory to God, God has given us the spirit of a sound mind. Fear is a controller. It controls people. Despots rule through the agency of fear. They control by the agency of fear. And Satan is the greatest of all despots. He is a controller. He attempts to control, but glory be unto God. God has loosed us from his hold. So we would say this, and we're going to look at it further. We're just not going to stop on the subject here. But, my friends, fear should never be that which is responsible that is keeping you from going to the land of Israel or going and doing anything. Some people will not even stand up in front of a group of people and share their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ or meet somebody and share the reason for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ simply because they're afraid of rejection. Well, folks, that's not from God. God has given us a higher way, and it is the way of power, it is the way of love, and it is the way of soundness of mind. Now look with me, if you would please, in Nehemiah the 6th chapter. Nehemiah has come back, just to preface this, Nehemiah has come back from the land of the Medo-Persians where Israel has been held captive these 70 years, and he's come back to begin to reconstruct the walls around the holy city, Jerusalem. And the enemies around about in the land do not want this construction to go on. That's the same exact thing that's taking place in Israel today. The enemies of Israel in the land do not want the construction of the things of God to go on in the land of Israel, and they're doing everything that they can to bring fear upon them, so they back off. What is terrorism? Terrorism is to bring terror, to bring fear. It is to keep people from going about their natural lives, going about their spiritual life. It is putting some constriction on them. That's the whole purpose of terrorism. And now the inhabitants in the land of Israel that are the enemies of Israel are doing things, bringing forth terror to keep Israel from constructing and building and doing what God has said to do to be fruitful in the land. God has told them in the word of the living God, he has told them that they will go back to those ancient places, those ancient rock stacks where the rocks are stacked up, and there they will reconstruct the cities, and Israel has done that, and the world is upset about it, but it is what God has decreed. And so they're trying to bring fear to get Israel to back off of it. And the sad thing about it is Israel is backing off of it. But in this end of days, when the power of the Lord shall be manifest to all nations, and God shall be sanctified in the eyes of the Gentiles, he shall be sanctified in the eyes of the Goyim, he shall be sanctified in the eyes of the nations, my friends, God's going to come forth, and Israel will have everything and construct everywhere that God says for them to construct, because it is the Word of God. This is not what you get on CBS. This is not what you get on NBC or ABC or CNN. This is not the information that they give out, because they're not giving out the Bible. They're not giving out the Word of God. We need preachers to stand up and say what the Word of God says, which is saying what God says. Are you hearing? Preachers need to speak what God says. Preachers don't need to be siding with the world. Preachers need to open up the book and read the book and find out what the book says that God is going to do with Israel in the last day, and then get in agreement with God's word. Are you listening, my friends? They need to get into agreement with God's word. Preachers are preaching things anti-God when it comes to Israel in this end of days. But God's going to sanctify himself in the sight of the nations, and Israel shall accomplish exactly what Israel is supposed to accomplish in this time. Glory be unto God, for the days are running short. But Nehemiah here, building. The enemy comes, Sanballat and Tobiah come, send messengers to try to do something, to try to bring fear to him so that he will stop the construction. And it says this in verse 8, "Then I sent unto him, saying, There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart." He's speaking to the enemies of Israel. "For they all made us afraid, saying, Their hands shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Verse 10 says, "Afterward I came into the house of Shemaiah the son of Delaiah. And this is what they said, Let us meet together in the house of God, within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee, yea, in the night will they come to slay thee." And I said, here's what Nehemiah said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in, and lo, I perceive that God had not sent them, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so in sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me." This man, this enemy, this very symbol and picture of Satan, was sent for one reason, and that was to bring fear on Nehemiah so that Nehemiah would stop the construction, so that Nehemiah would not fulfill and complete what God had put and designed in his heart to complete. Folks, that's exactly what fear is doing to the believer today. The fear that enemy comes with, that fear is to keep you from moving and accomplishing God's plan. Now, we're speaking specifically on making a decision to go to Israel. God wants people to have the freedom and you exercise their faith to go to lands like this. And sometimes those lands are in turmoil, my friends. But let me tell you, even a land can be in turmoil, but God's power and God's love will sustain you and protect you just like it did Nehemiah. You must recognize that the enemy is the author and the bringer forth of fear in folks' lives. Now let me read to you out of the New Living Translation. It says this in verse 12, "I realized that God had not spoken to him, but that he had uttered this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. They were hoping to intimidate me and make me sin by following his suggestion. Then they would be able to accuse and discredit me." This is exactly why fear comes. Satan hires, we'll put that in quotation mark, Satan hires his spirits to come and bring fear. Remember, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. These things come forth from the evil one, the enemy, and they are for the purpose that in the end result, Satan will have reason for accusation against you, so that he may discredit you. Satan wants you to back off. Satan wants you to be afraid to step out and trust God with all of your might. Satan wants that so that then he can point his finger at you and say, "See, you couldn't do it, could you? You couldn't do it. You're a failure." And he accuses us. He's the one responsible, directly responsible. You listen to him. You do what he wants to do. You allow him to shape your conduct. And then he comes to accuse you and discredit you. Well, folks, let me tell you, let me read those things to you again that the New Living Translation says. He comes to intimidate the believer. Intimidation means to frighten, to make timid, to inhibit or discourage by or as if by threat. He comes to make threats. He comes to say, if you go over there, you're going to die. He comes to tell you if you get on an airplane, that airplane's going to crash. He comes to frighten you, to make you timid, to inhibit you. Well, I tell you what, in this day and time, you're not going to experience the greatness of God, and you're not going to experience great things and be able to do great works if you're afraid to get on an airplane, my friends. I mean, some people so desire to go to the foreign field, to go to a third world country, to feed the poor, to love the poor, to help them, to bring forth the healing balm of Gilead to them. But many of these people are afraid to get on the airplane. And I have been on the airplane with some of these folks before. They took everything they could muster up on the inside of them to get on an airplane. But for the entire trip, their fingernails were just pinched into the armrest. Folks, that's not God's plan for you. That did not come from God. And we're going to look at in just a few moments how you can address it. Now, we could spend literally 10 or 12 sermons on this subject. We're just going to give an overview. But you have to realize that fear comes to intimidate the believer, to frighten them, to make them timid, to inhibit or to discourage by or as if by threat. Well, you're going to go down. If you go on that airplane, you're going to go down. You're going to go down. That's what the devil says. Well, let me tell you what, glory to God, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Fear is not a part of the believer's makeup. It's something that comes forth from Satan. Believers should not be afraid. Oh, I know, my friends, we go to some of the most remote places and most dangerous places in the world. I've been in countries when the governments have fallen. I have been there when there were military coups. And I tell you what, the protecting power of God was always there to protect this young preacher. Glory be unto God. He was always there so that I could continue to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the great revivals that I've ever been a part of was during a military coup when the government fell and the people were afraid and they ran into the church with gunfire going on the outside, and I preached the gospel of redemption and salvation, and many hundreds came to the kingdom of God, and many hundreds were healed by the power of God. I mean, the word of God needs to be going forth in a time and when there's turmoil and there is shakiness all around us. I tell you what, we need people who will stand boldly on the word of God and declare the word of God when all around is on shaky ground. But you can't do that if you're eaten up with fear. I go with this psalm in my mouth and in my heart. I speak it and utter it constantly. When I'm in Israel and I climb into the bus, when I'm in Israel and I climb into my private car that I might be driving, and when I drive from the north to south, the east and the west, when I'm in foreign countries, in the third world countries, and I'm driving through the land, this psalm is on my lips and on the lips of everyone who is accompanying me on these journeys. And it's Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. My dear friends, if you are tempted to fear, you need to take Psalm 91 and memorize it and put it in part of your everyday spiritual arsenal. I'm sure over the past months as I've been teaching on the podcast, I have brought up that psalm because it's such a part of my life. Satan comes, number one, to intimidate the believer. He wants to frighten you, to make you timid, to inhibit or discourage by or as if by threat. The next reason he comes to make them make you sin. If he can cause you to be afraid to do what God is leading you to do, or even if you are led and bent to be afraid so that you're not able to do what you desire to do, my friends, it causes sin. Romans 14:23 says this, and whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you're not able to exercise your faith and to perform things and do exploits for God, my friends, and fear is keeping you from manifesting forth faith in your life, then, my friends, that causes you to sin. Fear will never lead you to pleasing God. Fear will only lead you into sin. He also comes, it says in the New Living Translation, so that he can accuse you. We looked at that just briefly. Satan wants you to be afraid so that you will back off what God has in store for your life, so he can point his finger at you and say, look what you did, look what you did, look what you did, look what you did. Look, you couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. You don't have the strength to do it. And he's there to accuse you and to discredit you. But let me tell you something, my brothers and sisters. God has not given us the spirit of fear. 2 Corinthians the 4th chapter, verse 13 says this, we having the spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. God has not given us the spirit of fear, according to 2 Timothy 1:7, but 2 Corinthians 4:13 tells us this plainly, we have been given the spirit of faith. And this is how the spirit of faith operates. It believes and then it speaks. That's the two aspects of faith, believing in your heart and saying it with your mouth. Believing in your heart and saying it with your mouth. You need to stand up boldly every day if you have been attacked by fear and say, now wait, this spirit did not come from me. I have the spirit of faith. I have the spirit of faith. I believe in my heart. I have the spirit of faith. Therefore, I say with my mouth, I say I am a believer. I say I'm not a doubter. I say I live in faith and I don't live in fear. Fear and faith are opposing forces. And if we haven't been given fear, then we've been given faith, and you need to believe it and begin to proclaim it out of your mouth. Did you hear what I said? You need to proclaim that you believe, that you walk in faith, and that you do not get moved by fear. Because, folks, we never want anything to stand between us and God's best for us in Jesus' name. Now, 1 John, the 4th chapter, verse 18 says this, because my time is coming to an end. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. It tells us why we get caught up in fear. Because we have not been made perfect in the agape love of God. But this tells us this, you can become perfected in the agape love of God. And notice what? Love comes in and casts fear out of our life. So when we fear, we know one thing, we have to become perfected in our love. A lack of love or lack in the love walk is the reason for fear. It is that plain and simple. You say, well, why do I experience fear? Well, let me tell you, my friends, just what 1 John 4, verse 18 tells you. It's because the love walk has not been perfected. If you're afraid to get on that airplane, well, you ought to know that it's a telltale sign that your love walk is not perfected, and you need to work on the agape love of God. It's down on the inside of you. It has been shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. Love is on the inside of you. You need to start saying, I'm a love creature. I walk in love. I do things in love. I experience love. I have love for my brethren. I have love for those around me. I have love for the unlovable. I have love for the lovable. You need to start making a confession, glory to God, that the love of God is in you, that you can walk in that love, that you do walk in that love. And when perfect love comes in, it takes fear by the neck and cast it out. Hallelujah. I tell you what you need to do. You need to grab an amplified Bible. You need to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 4 through 8. Are you listening to me? Glory to God. I said, are you listening to me? In fact, my friends, we're just going to open up 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, and I'm going to read to you verses 4 through 8 from the Amplified Bible. There is no better description that I know of love. These are the things that you, as an individual, must work on in your life if you ever expect fear to be cast out of your life. Look at this. Love endures long. and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. Are you listening to this? It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. If it does, it does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures long without weakening. Are you listening to Pastor David? Love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. But you know something, my friend? Love is never going to pass away. I remember on this recent trip, I was coming back from the Holy Land. And I was seated on the aisle of the airplane. And there was another man on the aisle across from me. And his family was with him, and his daughter said to him, I want to put back my chair, but I don't want it to be on the people's knees behind me. And the father said, it's your God-given right to put that chair back no matter who's behind you. No, it's your God-given right. And I didn't say anything, but let me tell you what. No, it's not your God-given right. You just can't impose your will on everybody. And the Bible talks about love doesn't insist on its own way. Love prefers the other person. And if it causes someone discomfort, then it's better for you just to put your chair up, glory to God, and grin and bear it, and believe God you can rest whether you're leaning back or not. But you know, some people say, well, it's your God-given right. There are some things, folks, that aren't your God-given right if it means imposing your will on somebody else and bringing discomfort to their life. Love, my brothers and sisters, love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It is ever ready to believe the best of every person. My counsel to you today is that you get an Amplified Bible. Amplified Bible sales should go up after this sermon. You take the Amplified Bible, turn to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, read verses 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. I mean, get those things. If you have to, write it out longhand, post it up on, glory to God, your refrigerator, and you go through those scriptures all the time, because you perfect yourself in love and fear goes out the door. You need to get that. A believer must work on his or her love walk. And the old excuse, it is not my nature, is a terribly lame excuse. Are you listening to me? Because it is your nature. It is your nature to walk in love. It is your nature to prefer other people. It is your nature. That is your nature because God has come on the inside of you and you are not your own any longer. It is your nature. You have been made in His image. You have been made in His likeness. You have taken on a new man. You've taken on a new nature. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. Your old nature has passed away, and behold, all things have become new. You are loved children created by a loved God. You are good at it because it is who you are. You are not the same person that was raised up by natural parents in a natural school of education. You are children of the Most High God, raised up in the school of the Holy Ghost. This is your nature now. The love nature is your nature, my friend. It is what Jesus came to die for, so that you would be vessels fit for the Master's use. Jesus came to free you from the old nature and introduce you into a new nature. The excuse, this is not my nature, doesn't fly in the light of God's word. Are you listening to Pastor David today? The old thing, well, you know, my parents were from this country or that country, and we're just hot natured. We fly off the handle just at the click of a finger. Let me tell you what, that's not your nature anymore. You're not your own, 1 Corinthians 6:19 says. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, you have a new nature now. And that new nature desires to move in love and desires to yield to the spirit of faith. Are you listening to me? We have no excuses any longer. We're love creatures. Take those scriptures from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verses 4 through 8 in the Amplified Bible. Make them your confession. Believe them. Get them in your heart. Get them in your mind, my friends, and it will transform the way you live, and that fear that torments will be cast out by perfect love. Remember, perfect love casteth out fear. We love you. Appreciate you. Remember, DavidOaksMinistries.org. Next time, be with us in Jesus' name. Bye-bye.